It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
The majority of the human population has allowed itself to be deceived through ignorance, deception, chronic apathy, or a serious lack of curiosity and questioning, all somewhat bolstered by cynicism. Consumerism rules. As long as their bellies are full and heads are filled with mindless entertainment or other gratuitous distraction, they're happy. Genetic cloning is unnecessary. Cloning has already been done. Care of the effects of mass media brainwashing. A quote by Paul A. Phillips. Another quote to consider. The problem of fake news isn't solved by hoping for a referee, but rather because we as participants, we as citizens, we as users of these services help each other. We talk, we share, we point out what is fake, we point out what is true. The answer to bad speech isn't censorship. The answer to bad speech is more speech. We have to spread the idea that critical thinking matters now more than ever. From Edward Snowden. A final quote to consider from Stuart Scott, the executive director of Scientists Warning TV and ScientistsWarning.org. Very simple, very inarguable. Mr. Scott said this, "You can't have a society that enriches people based on the destruction of nature that functions with over 7 billion people all trying to do the same thing." We are certainly seeing the results of that equation, and it's getting worse by the day. In this broadcast, Breaking Frontline reports on the latest round of assaults on the biosphere by the global climate engineering cabal. More new news on dangerous vaccines and who's funding them. Fukushima and the 5G microwave radiation assault both continue to manifest. How much more can we and the web of life take? To all those that continue their commitment to the greater good, that continue to do their best to sound the alarm, to wake others, and to try and alter our current course, I wish to express to you my deepest and most sincere gratitude. Our combined efforts can yet make a difference, but we must make every day count. Breaking headlines in a moment. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 184, February 16th, 2019. This is a commercial-free program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 7, and now rebroadcast Sunday mornings also from 6 a.m. to 7. Global Alert News is rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're aware of any radio station that may be willing to pick up the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We'll gladly provide the downloads of our broadcast to other stations for free. Our only goal, as always, is to sound the alarm, to help wake the masses, and to help turn the tide. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. In regard to raising awareness, staunch ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering, the Jim Fair Group, GEMFAIRE, their events this week started yesterday into tomorrow, Santa Barbara, California, Earl Warren Showgrounds, geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth there, free materials there. You can get in for free if you tell the ticket person why you're there to help us to raise awareness on this most critical issue. Next week, Costa Mesa, California, February 22nd through February 24th at the OC Fair and Event Center. Week after, Del Mar, California, March 1st through March 3rd, Del Mar Fairgrounds. Show up if you're in those areas. Show your support for Jim Fair for helping us to bring this most critical issue to light and to a halt. Again, our most sincere gratitude to the Jim Fair Group for facilitating a geoengineeringwatch.org fully stocked informational booth at every single event. Moving on, with so many industrialized nations still only being concerned about the economic house of cards Ponzi scheme, while the biosphere, and the climate implode from every direction. How's the economy doing, really? While mainstream media continues to utilize and push every imaginable, divisive, and distracting issue, using the most divisive and polarizing characters, here are a few headline reports that the, quote, Make America Great Again, and An Economic Miracle is Taking Place in the U.S., and the, quote, Economy is Better Than Ever, Liars, won't tell you. Here's the headlines. Red flags emerge as Americans' debt load hits another record. Second headline, U.S. national debt tops $22 trillion. Another headline, Eurozone industrial production falls more than expected in December. Another headline, why S&P bulls should worry as the Baltic Dry collapse nears worst on record. For those that don't know what the Baltic Dry Index is, it's the most untarnished economic indicator in the world. It's dry shipping overseas, and it is collapsing. Very, very big red flag there. Another headline, the corporate lemmings who rushed into mobile social media ads are running off the cliff. Another headline, shockingly weak retail sales down in December, sharpest decline since 2009. Another headline, Amazon will pay a whopping $0 in federal taxes on $11.2 billion in profits. Zero tax paid by Amazon. Now following with this headline, also related, Amazon-owned Whole Foods Market raises prices on hundreds of products, report says. Not hard to tell what's going on in that equation, is it? Another headline, Goldman Sachs says U.S. exposure to the global slump has intensified. Another headline, surge in auto loan delinquencies, auto loans in high gear. Delinquencies in high gear, that's what that report's about. Related report, mortgage applications drop despite lower mortgage rates. Industry is baffled. They're baffled because they've been trained to believe that you can have perpetual growth on a finite planet with finite resources, a planet in which its life support systems are imploding by the day. More headlines. This one, Activision full-year forecast missed. Activision to cut nearly 800 jobs. Another headline, Union Pacific cuts 250 employees. Another 450 employees are furloughed. Another headline, central banks buy gold bullion hand over fist, most purchased since 1967. Can't eat that gold. And at some point soon, food, water, and shelter will be the bottom line. Here are more bigger picture headlines that are revealing. Israel's Netanyahu asks Arabs to, quote, advance the common interest of war with Iran. Been reporting on this for a very long time. Who is the real threat in the Middle East? And who is the dog on a leash for that threat? Who is the tail wagging the dog? The United States carrying out the bidding of other countries. And this headline makes clear who those countries are. Another headline, Pence calls on EU allies to withdraw from the nuclear deal in latest transatlantic rift, continuing to prepare for global conflict. The dying empire and its quest for resources around the globe is more dangerous than ever. Another headline, while Pompeo pouts in Poland, Putin pushes peace in Syria. Say that one fast. Another headline, Cuba says the U.S. is moving special forces, preparing Venezuelan intervention. That simply means invasion and taking over resources. That's business as usual for the United States of America. Learn your history. Invading and or occupying and plundering nearly 100 countries in as many years, while Iran, on the other hand, that's so often demonized, has invaded no one in 230 years. That's simply history. It's not an opinion. Another headline, U.S. warns the world against buying Venezuelan oil. Again, desperation of the empire trying to install a puppet government. And we had John Bolton, I played that recording on previous broadcasts, stating on the record the takeover would be good for American companies, good for American bottom line. This is not hard to see through this. And ignoring it, for those that are ignoring this type of tyranny being carried out by our own government, that's a form of tyranny all by itself, doing nothing. Another headline, sanctions on Venezuelan in Venezuela leaves oil market scrambling for heavy crude. Final headline, Venezuela. Media find Trump's coup plan does not work. We'll see how it all plays out. It hasn't worked out very well around the rest of the world as chaos and carnage continues to escalate everywhere. We are in the fast track to a lifeless planet. Fukushima. The triple reactor total meltdown chain of nuclear volcanoes continues to spew lethal radiation into the atmosphere and the oceans, while the reactor cores continue to melt ever deeper into the layers of strata below. For the record, though corporate media would like us to forget all about Fukushima, the Fukushima nightmare is just beginning. And let's not forget about the other 400-plus nuclear power plants that are nothing more than ticking time bombs all over the world. With that in mind, consider this new headline report. U.S. nuclear energy industry asks Washington for help in international expansion. What a great idea. Let's build more nuke plants everywhere so we can be sure that no one or nothing survives. Consider and remember this. It's not just the insanity of those in power that has brought us to this very dark hour. It is the willful blindness and complacency of so many in populations. And I'm not saying everyone, not saying that. But I'm saying taken as a whole, if we are to be realistic, that is the case. It's not just those in power. They could not do what they do without the complacency and compliance of the majority in populations. And that's just simply a fact. And for those that are doing their part to change the equation, again, my deepest gratitude to you. We need more to do the same. Help us to wake others. Help us to make clear that we all have responsibility to the whole. If we stand together, we can yet make a difference. The 5G threat continues to metastasize. Listen carefully to this audio recording from former FCC chairman Tom Wheeler, by the way, who was appointed by the Barack Obama administration. Listen carefully.
Changer is that 5G will use much higher frequency bands than previously thought viable for mobile broadband and other applications. Such millimeter wave signals have physical properties that are both a limitation and a strength. They tend to travel best in narrow and straight lines, and they do not go through physical objects as well. But brilliant engineers have developed new antennas that can aim and amplify signals. Now, to make this work, the 5G build-out is going to be very infrastructure intensive, requiring massive deployment of small cells. I'm confident that the actions will lead to a cornucopia of unanticipated, innovative uses and will generate tens of billions of dollars in economic activity. And that's damn important, because it means that U.S. companies will be the first out of the gate. And that is why 5G is a national priority. And stay out of the way of technological development. Unlike some countries, we do not believe that we should spend the next couple of years studying what 5G should be or how it should operate. The future has a way of inventing itself. Turning innovators loose is far preferable to expecting committees and regulators to define the future. We won't wait for the standards. We're already seeing industry gearing up to seize this opportunity. Verizon and AT&T tell us they'll begin deploying 5G trials in 2017. And the first commercial deployments they're talking about are expected in 2020. And we're not done. As part of our July 14 action, we also plan to ask for comments on opening up other high-frequency bands. Many of the high-frequency bands that we will make available for 5G currently have some satellite users, as well as some Defense Department applications, or at least the possibility of future satellite and defense users. This means sharing will be required between satellite and terrestrial wireless, an issue that is especially relevant in the 28 gigahertz band. But if anyone tells you that they know the details of what 5G is going to become, run the other way. If something can be connected, it will be connected. Hundreds of billions of microchips connected in products from pill bottles to plant waterers, we must reject the notion that the 5G future will be the sole providence of urban areas. The 5G revolution will touch all corners of our country. A lot more antenna siting decisions by local governments and tightened our shot clock for siting application reviews. America's local governments will play an important role in determining how we fulfill this national priority. You can be sure of only one thing. The biggest Internet of Things application has yet to be imagined. Tens of billions of dollars in economic activity. And that's damn important.
Let's ponder that one for a moment. The FCC chairman, former chairman, as 5G was rolling out and it's manifesting again now, stating clearly what matters most is the tens of billions of dollars in economic activity. No consideration for the dangers, the safety issues, and he stated anything that can be connected with 5G will be. 5G is used for crowd control by militaries. It's not hard to connect these dots. We have the clinically insane running the planet. And it doesn't matter which administration we're talking about. It only gets worse. It has only gotten worse. So for those who are still caught up in the manufactured political theater of the absurd, stand back and see the forest from the trees, please, while there's still anything left to salvage. Changing gears for a moment, the YouTube and Facebook censorship of important information and geoengineeringwatch.org data and posts continues. Please try to utilize other search engines like Bing or DuckDuckGo. I'm not saying they're perfect, but they're much better than Google and YouTube. Many of our YouTube subscribers are complaining to us that they are not getting notified of our posts or they are being unsubscribed by YouTube. To be sure you receive our posts, please check to see if YouTube has, for any reason, unsubscribed you. Please resubscribe. Environmental groups, organizations, sources, and sites are continuing to show a complete absence of courage, with few exceptions. All major environmental organizations continue to pretend the climate engineering elephant in the sky isn't really there. What's happening to our planet? Well, so many so far have been able to go about their lives as if nothing is wrong. The darkening of the horizon is continuing to accelerate. Let's get back to some reality headlines. How bad is it? Consider this new report from the UK Guardian and other sources. This is new. This sounds like a repeat to some people. It's not. These are new headlines every week, and this is the point at which I've stated for so many years would come when the severity of what's unfolding can no longer be hidden. Here's the headline. Plummeting insect numbers threaten, quote, the collapse of nature. To be clear, if nature dies, we will die. This fact should be very apparent to any that are even slightly awake. And even while Earth's remaining life support systems unravel, how many are still caught up, again, in the power structure orchestrated political theater of the absurd? How's the human population doing? Consider that every other commercial on mainstream TV is from the medical industrial complex, pushing their latest toxic concoctions to treat every imaginable form of disease, dementia, and breathing disorders. The human race is succumbing also to the toxic sea we are all swimming in. And the so-called treatments, perhaps the worst of all. Yes, on the current course, the human race will not be far behind the demise of the insects. From Vox.com and other sources, this new report of our dying planet. California has 149 million dead dry trees ready to ignite like a matchbook. 18 million trees died just last year. These numbers are very conservative, by the way. The actual numbers are much, much higher. Report finishes with this. That poses a huge fire and injury hazard. This is new, as if recent summers weren't bad enough. Report states this. On Monday, the state received a fresh warning sign of why the risks of massive devastating blazes are growing. More on the horizon for us. And I want to state again, single greatest cause of the epic wildfires is climate engineering, not denying anthropogenic global warming at all. That's absolutely real. We've been horrible stewards of our planet, but in the case of the epic wildfires, go to the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, search and read the engineering wildfires section so you will better understand how connected climate engineering is to those wildfires. Condemning news continues to come in on the irrefutable dangers of vaccines and on the criminals who push them. Here's a new headline report from the vaccinereaction.org site and other sources. Here's the headline. The vaccine industry drives big philanthropy, big media, and government agencies. No surprise there. Today, from the report, today everybody knows somebody who was healthy, who got vaccinated, and was never healthy again. The people whose lives are being impacted by business deals between governments, big pharma, and big philanthropy increasingly are being marginalized in the top-down public policy-making process by wealthy and powerful institutions in society that are financing the global multi-billion dollar vaccine industry. This is evident when people who raise their voices to ask for better vaccine science and more humane public health policies are demonized, discriminated against, and punished by those in control of the wealthy and powerful institutions in question. A system that will not bend will break. The responsibility for the crisis of trust in the global vaccination system lies squarely at the feet of those who operate the system and refuse to acknowledge the suffering of people harmed by vaccines. Final excerpts. Congress appropriated nearly $90 billion to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in 2018, and the biggest line item in the CDC's $11 billion budget was the Vaccines for Children program. Imagine that. Toxic vaccines, about 70 are administered to our children by the time they're out of high school. 70. Is it any wonder society is ceasing to function? Autism is off the scale. Final statements. It is clear that the mass media communications today are being controlled by corporations financially tied to the pharmaceutical industrial complex and influenced by powerful political institutions in society. It goes a long way to explaining why mainstream media outlets have been nearly united in attacking parents and physicians who defend the ethical principle of informed consent, including informed consent to vaccinations, and are willing to call for vaccine experiments to be severely restricted or eliminated. Why wouldn't we want this? Why wouldn't we want to have informed consent? Why are we being deprived of that? Because the agendas behind vaccinations are not about the common good. That is an absolute glaring lie, as much as the quote condensation trail narrative is a blatant glaring lie. So many lies. Lies about so many aspects of our reality. The orchestrated Truman Show, which we all find ourselves in, which we won't be in much longer, by the way, if we stay on this current course. It's up to us. It's up to us. We're the ones we've been waiting for. We must wake the population. Only then can we change course. Only when we reach our military brothers and sisters that are so far, the majority of whom, not looking at reality, only following orders blindly. That must change. It must change. Back to our current environmental conditions, living off-grid with wind, solar, and hydro, I can say definitively, without speculation, there is less of each overall. This doesn't mean there's no wind, doesn't mean there's no rain, doesn't mean there's no sun. It means overall there is less of all three. I know that without speculation because I am producing far less power off those three forms of renewable energy, and it's not just me. You have commercial solar plants producing far less than they're designed criteria because they're not getting enough sun. You have hydro plants around the globe not producing nearly what they should and did. We have less wind being produced. And all of these elements, a direct result of climate engineering filling the sky with light scattering particles that reduces overall precipitation, of course reduces the sunshine and reduces wind. What's the environment to do with such changes? It's not just us or about producing renewable energy. What's the environment doing? What's this doing to the surviving, the creatures that are yet surviving on our planet? At my window where I work on this fight every single day, outside my window, a hoarse tree frog can still be heard, even through the snow we just had. Why is a tree frog out when there's snow on the ground? because it's not very cold. That's why. It shouldn't have snowed to begin with. I posted a video yesterday outlining this completely engineered snowstorm in Northern California with radar animations and other data. This 2 foot plus where I live of snow that started in 43 degrees, that crushed trees, did who knows what damage to the environment as a whole, this tree frog croaking through it all, amazingly, gone in 2 days, in 48 hours. In fact, look at the photo at the bottom of this post, and you will if you match that with the video I took on the day of the snow where you couldn't see anything but crushed trees and knee-deep snow, gone 2 days later. 2 days with temperatures back in the 50s. These are not natural events. They are absolutely not natural. They're being engineered. More on that later in this broadcast. Let me go through some headlines first so it will all make sense. I want to give enough dots to make sense. Enough dots to form a clear, bigger picture. Backing up for a moment, though, to the environment and what's happening in the environment, let me cover a few more headlines from RTTV and other sources. Listen closely. This is not some French internet yarn. It's a mainstream reporting story. Quote, zombie deer brain disease spreads to 24 U.S. states and Canada and increasingly threatens humans. From that report, an incurable mad cow-like brain infection nicknamed zombie deer disease that causes deer, elk, and moose to behave strangely and aggressively has spread through half the U.S., and some fear it may soon turn up in humans. This sounds like a script from a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? And where do these ailments come from? We know there's about 400 biolabs experimenting with every pathogen that we could probably ever imagine. There is a lot going on that so many don't even want to begin to think about. It is that bad. From the report, continuing, chronic wasting disease, known as CWD, renders its victims uncoordinated, confused, and aggressive, while also causing them to lose weight and eventually their lives, giving rise to the nickname zombie deer disease. Sick animals walk in repetitive patterns and lose all fear of humans, developing a vacant stare. Like mad cow disease, CWD attacks the brain and spinal cord and is believed to be caused by prions, infectious proteins that travel in bodily fluids and remain contagious for years after leaving the body of their host. Though some scientists have scoffed at the notion that this can be transmitted to humans, others see history repeating itself. Quote, it is probable that human cases of CWD associated with the consumption of contaminated meat will be documented in the years ahead, said Michael Osterholm, director of the University of Minnesota Center for Infectious Disease and Research Prevention. He warned lawmakers at the Minnesota Capitol, saying this, it is possible that the number of human cases will be substantial and will not be isolated events. More from the report. Minnesota is currently in the throes of its worst ever CWD outbreak. The disease is incurable, and its latency period means symptoms can take as long as a year to show up, meaning a hunter could shoot a healthy-looking deer and take it home for dinner without knowing he was consuming infected meat. A Canadian study last year demonstrated that macaws fed with CWD-infected meat developed the disease, leading a Canadian authority to issue a health advisory. The CDC merely, quote, recommends against eating infected deer. CDC's, the Center for Disease Control in the U.S., is not there to warn the public about dangers. It's there to mask dangers from the public. Be clear on that. That's what the CDC is about. From vaccines to this wasting disease, CDC is there to hide dangers from the public. U.S. wildlife agencies say eating the virulent venison is a, quote, personal choice. A personal choice. No warning of the threat. No substantial warning at all. Final excerpts from the report. If Stephen King could write an infectious disease novel, he would write about prions like this, Osterholm said, reminding Minnesota lawmakers that public health experts and beef industry executives refused for a very long time to believe mad cow could infect humans as well, until researchers confirmed the presence of its human variant, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, in people who had eaten infected meat. CWD infection rates are sky high among some U.S. captive deer populations, reaching 79%, according to the CDC. Question, how much of this type of insanity that's going on our planet right now is not nature, but biological warfare? And for those that don't believe that, read about Deer Island, Lab 273 and the likely origin of Lyme disease. How many is that infecting? Biological experimentation turned loose into nature. We are not dealing with sanity for those at the top. We are not dealing with sanity. So many say, why would they do this to themselves? Again, I've answered that question so many times, from climate engineering to nuclear bomb detonations to Fukushima. I could go on and on. But we have so many examples of what they are doing to themselves because they are not sane. Power is completely addictive. We are dealing with a cancer whose only intent is to proliferate until it kills the host, including all of us with the host. And that is the path we are on. That's the fact of the matter. Much going on the horizon while we are watching the political theater of the absurd on every mainstream station, doesn't matter which one it is, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, Democracy Now, it doesn't matter. They're all on the power structure payroll, all of them, including, again, far left, supposedly independent news like Democracy Now, absolutely on the power structure payroll, starting with the Ford Foundation. It's up to us to find out what's happening on the horizon and to do our part to make a difference for the better. Onto the biosphere, the climate and the ongoing weather warfare assault by the climate engineers. This new headline from MauiNews.com and other sources. Follow me through with these dots and then form a picture when you have enough dots to do so. Winter weather wreaks havoc across country. Snow and ice closed down part of a national park in Hawaii. While downpours and strong winds took power lines down and trees, and high surf pushed boats ashore in West and South Maui, winter conditions were brought on by this powerful storm tracking southward toward the Hawaiian Islands, bringing a band of enhanced moisture and predictions of up to 3 inches of snow on the highest elevations in the Hawaiian National Park. Shortly after noon on Sunday, the Summit District was closed due to snowy and icy roads, as well as power outages throughout the district. Across the region, strong winds and rains took down multiple trees and power lines, causing long-lasting outages. More on the anomalous and record Hawaiian snow in a moment, but let me stop here for a minute. I want to ask a question. Why are so many trees now toppling and breaking apart in storms? Certainly, we should expect some trees to succumb to strong storms. I'm not arguing that. But now it's epidemic. I grew up near the bottom of the Cajon Pass in Southern California, next to the San Gabriel Mountains. Incredibly strong Santa Ana winds would often tear down through the pass at far above hurricane force strength. And even with rain-soaked soils, there were not nearly as many tree falls as there are now, even with far less intense winds. Why? Because tree root systems are dying back just as the tree crowns are dying back. As I've stated numerous times in the past, my father was an arborist. I worked with him as a boy. I was on the front line of storm damage to trees. I've also been directly involved with large-scale forest and habitat restoration projects, six of them with state and federal agencies. Again, the tree falls are getting rapidly worse. The highly toxic bioavailable heavy metal and chemical fallout from the climate engineering operations is devastating soils, soil microbes, and thus tree roots. We have peer-reviewed study to prove this. In the case of aluminum, which is a primary element in climate engineering patents, primary element showing up in lab tests we have from all over the globe, it's saturating and loading soils, and peer-reviewed study proves that in the case of aluminum, roots sense this toxin and shut down nutrient uptake, causing the tree to die a slow, protracted death. It's happening. The bottom line, Earth's remaining trees are not only dying from the top down, they are dying from the bottom up. Back to climate engineering, the climate engineering assault, and the headlines the weather makers are trying to create. One more on the Hawaiian snow. This report from sfgate.com and other sources. Hawaii recorded what may be the lowest elevation snow in state history. That's the type of headline the climate engineers and the power structure love, because it fortifies the false narrative that there's no global warming or the planet is cooling or other absurdities. This is climate engineering. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Again, search the engineered weather section at geoengineeringwatch.org. From this report, interestingly enough, there were no temperatures mentioned, no surface air temperatures. What were the surface air temperatures when the snow first began to fall, the higher elevations on the islands? More on that in a moment about the temperatures. First, more new headline reports again covering engineered winter events, the types of headlines the climate engineers are trying now more than ever to create. And then we'll get to the bigger global picture after. Another report from SFGate and other sources. Snow falls at sea level in Northern California beaches in Humboldt County, which was dusted by powder. From that report, a thin layer of snow dusted beaches in the far reaches of Northern California. Here's another sensationalized report on anomalous snow in the state that just suffered through a summer of worsening record heat and wildfires. Here's the report. Bay Area stunned with snow-covered hillsides after unusually cold storm earlier this week. But let's look at another headline from the same source, from the same period of time, from the San Francisco Bay Area. The same source said this: temperatures stuck in the 50s for at least a week. Question: why is all this snow falling at temperatures so far above freezing? And as the chemical ice nucleation process continues, it creates a cold layer at the ground. Thermometers eventually drop. You put ice in an ice chest, the temperatures are going to go down. Cold air settles, just like the open freezer in a market. Everything's frozen with no top on the freezer because the cold air sits on the ground. That is not indicative of the overall climate. It simply creates headlines and confusion and division in the population, which serves the power structure very well, while the planet descends into an abrupt climate collapse, total meltdown, accelerating by the day. And that there'll be no hiding that much longer. They can chemically nucleate all the snow anomalies they want. It won't mask what's coming for much longer. And paradoxically, every climate engineering operation, every chemically nucleated cool down they carry out worsens the overall warming of the planet. And you can see the patents on chemical ice nucleation. You can see articles from Popular Science, from Fox News that covered the Chinese scientists doing this in China. Anybody can search that online. The data is there. For any that want to know the truth, the data is there. Another headline from AccuWeather.com, this report, sensationalizing, again, chemical ice nucleated engineered winter weather whiplash. Here's the headline. Snow makes a rare appearance in Las Vegas. From that report, snowflakes made a rare appearance in Las Vegas as cold air plunged into the deserts of the southwest United States on Sunday. Residents and visitors, this is Sunday last week, of course, residents and visitors across the city flocked to social media to post photos and videos of the rare event. Las Vegas recorded a high temperature of 57 degrees Fahrenheit that day, Sunday afternoon, but a cold front passed through the area during the evening hours and sent temperatures tumbling into the 30s. Remember that data. Again, nearly 60 degrees to snow in only hours in Las Vegas. But it is winter in the Northern Hemisphere, right? Even though surface temperatures are now often far above freezing when snow or some kind of frozen something begins to fall, then it must be cold and wintry, right? That's exactly the mindset the weather makers want to instill in the population. What about the other side of the world, where it's currently the middle of summer? Tasmania has been decimated with record heat and record wildfires. And there's the southernmost tip of South America, only 700 miles from Antarctica, which just shattered heat records with temperatures above 90 degrees. And what about Australia? That's been burning to the ground with record-shattering heat. Warmest January ever recorded. Here's a headline from multiple sources in Australian media. This headline report of the ongoing heat and off-the-rails weather. After record-breaking summer in New South Wales, a hotter-than-average autumn is predicted. New South Wales is on track to have a warmer-than-average days and nights in the coming months, the Bureau of Meteorology says. The prediction comes off the back of two record-breaking summer months, with February also looking to record far above average temperatures. Another headline from abc.net.au. This is ABC Australia. This new report, which is just another chapter in the accelerating incineration of the land down under. Here's the headlines. Australian residents in shock after bushfires destroy 20 homes across New South Wales. From that report, the New South Wales Rural Fire Service has upgraded an out-of-control bushfire in the state's north to emergency warning level as properties come under threat. With all that in mind, this new headline report from theworldnews.net and other sources. Let's switch gears completely. The weather whiplash that can be created by the climate engineers. Consider how many reports we've been over about the incineration of Australia, Tasmania. Now consider this. Again, this report from theworldnews.net and other sources. Snow in summer, question mark. That's Melbourne. That's what the report stated. It said this, it may still be summer, but a vigorous cold front could leave Victoria's alpine ranges with a dusting of snow. From wildfires, record heat, to snow in summer. Doesn't say what temperature that snow is falling at, though, does it? Or at least starting to fall at. And this report from abc.net.au. A remarkable end to the fires. Snow falls in parts of Tasmania as fires still smolder. Tasmania has received its first snow of the year, and it's falling in areas that were threatened by fierce brush fires only last week. Continuing, now consider this headline from sciencealert.com and other sources. It seems weather cataclysms can now be predicted months in advance, but how can that be? Aren't we really talking about the scheduled weather? That's exactly what we're talking about. More on that in a moment. AccuWeather is now issuing 90-day forecasts, and meteorologists are pissed. That's not my words. Those are the headlines. As I've already covered in previous broadcasts, the nation's so-called weather forecasters are reading scripts. In fact, the nation's weathermen have a federal gag order on them, an illegal federal gag order. The scripts are passed down from the top, ultimately all the way to the local meteorologist levels. Contractors like Raytheon engineering the weather and passing down the scripts. And the Freedom of Information Act request that our attorneys have already received from the lawsuit we filed against the Department of Commerce to force NOAA to release this information to us prove that meteorologists are reading scripts. Not my opinion. It's fact. Let's continue on the same theme. Keep in mind, a primary objective of the climate engineers is to create anomalous cool-down zones via jet stream manipulation and patented processes of chemical ice nucleation. When the weather makers can whip up some winter weather whiplash anomalies, the power structure-controlled media takes over and sensationalizes the event. Thus, the public's confusion and division in regard to the true state of climate implosion is further fueled. So on that note, consider this new headline report from Scientific American and other sources. Here is the headline. How climate change may affect, quote, winter weather whiplash. Wild swings from pipe-bursting cold to spring-like warmth seem to be on the rise. Winter weather whiplash. This is a brand new report from Scientific American. How many times has geoengineeringwatch.org and our articles and posts over how many years used that exact term? Except Scientific American, instead of saying climate engineering is creating winter weather whiplash, it's all just some sort of natural phenomenon they would like you to believe, stating it's just climate change. The term they used, by the way, which was implemented in 1998, when climate engineering was really radically ramped up and the climate engineers knew they were going to be creating these winter weather or weather whiplash effects, period. So they had to have a term that made people accept that. So they changed from global warming to climate change and peddled the false notion that we should expect radical cool down events along with global warming, which is not true. So follow me through with this article. It states this, there is nothing like a wave of wacky weather to spark discussions about climate change. No mention of climate engineering, of course. They continue, in the last weeks, temperatures in the Midwest and Northeast have swung wildly from bone-chilling cold to unseasonably warm record high. It's not just, notice how the semantics here. It's bone-chilling cold, but just unseasonably warm. They don't say slightly colder than normal to record high temperatures, because that would give a different impression, wouldn't it? They say bone-chilling cold to unseasonably warm, all part of the programming. In some places, jumping more than 50 degrees Fahrenheit in the span of just a few days. That's false, too. Some places moved nearly 100 degree change in a few days. It's a case of weather whiplash, a sudden shift from one set of weather conditions to another, and now experts are questioning whether the changing climate may affect some kinds of winter whiplash events. What a blatant, glaring lie to cover the tracks of the climate engineers. They continue. In recent years, scientists have proposed that climate change may drive an increase in weather whiplash in some parts of the United States. Keep listening. This plugs in with a lot that I've already reported in previous broadcasts. Reports like this are simply trying to condition the population to accept whatever climate calamity befalls them as being some natural phenomenon and not a result of climate engineering. That's what these reports are about. The report continues. One 2018 paper, for instance, suggests that California will see an increase in both extremely wet and extremely dry weather. As a result, the state will experience an increase in the frequency with which an extremely wet year follows an extremely dry one. For now, there's no formal scientific definition of a weather whiplash event. See, they seem very fond of this term that we've used for how many years. They continue, it's been loosely defined as a kind of collision of circumstances where you have a swing in weather that is out of alignment with what would be considered, quote, normal, or is considered, quote, expected. Scientists say these kind of events can have major implications for human societies, which makes them important to study. Rapid shifts from freezing to thawing conditions, for instance, can raise the risk of bursting pipes, sudden floods from melting snow and ice, and other infrastructure damage. They can also confuse or disrupt plant growth and threaten agricultural yields. While research does suggest the, quote, polar vortex may be shifting its position more frequently in recent years, and these shifts often do seem to occur around the same time as warm spells. I've been over this. They create a heat dome over one area, diverting the jet stream up and around, the case in the heat dome in western U.S., pulling cold air down from the Arctic, naming it polar vortex to make it seem normal, as ionosphere heaters create this type of heat dome. This is documented fact. And institutions like Scientific American exist to cover the tracks of the climate engineers, to convince populations that the completely unnatural and engineered is somehow nature. That whatever the cause is, it's something out of our control and something that has nothing to do with what we've done and are doing to the planet. And that's simply not true. Countless forms of anthropogenic activity, again, have affected the planet. Any form of human activity that affects the energy balance of the planet affects the functioning of the biosphere. That's a form of geoengineering. All forms of human activity that must rationally be acknowledged. The planet doesn't know the difference between a particle sprayed from the back of a climate engineering aircraft or that is pumped out of a smokestack. The atmosphere doesn't know the difference. All of it affects the energy balance of the planet. And by the way, again, to state statistically on the record, and please look up everything I say. Please don't believe anything I say. Look it up. The planet is warming right now at the statistical rate, the heat equivalent, the thermal energy equivalent of 4 Hiroshima bombs, 4 to 5 Hiroshima bomb detonations per second, 400,000 per day. That's how fast the planet's warming. Most of it's going into the oceans. And we have the type of anomalous engineered winter events that create theatrical headlines, like I just went over, that are used to convince the population that, in fact, perhaps it's not heating. Perhaps the scientists are confused. Perhaps the statistical fact that we've just passed the 409th consecutive month of above normal global temperatures is wrong. And people, how soon they forget the type of summers we've had in Northern California that are happening all over the globe. Record heat, record fires to suddenly snow, even in summer in the Southern Hemisphere right now, as we just saw. But this can't be continued. Every single climate engineering operation pounds another nail into our collective coffins while we have, again, institutions like Scientific American, pretending that they don't know what's going on, that they have no idea why things are the way they are. On that note, continuing from the Scientific American report, models have generally been unable to establish a causal link between the two. This is the jet stream behavior. As a result, scientists believe that other factors must be at play. I wonder what those factors are. The report continues, between background climate warming, heat waves, and the cold bursts from the polar vortex, which is nothing more than engineered cool down, we have a kind of tug of war. You've been over that article at geoengineeringwatch.org. Also, climate engineering creating tug-of-war in weather. For now, whatever the causes, as if they don't know, temperature fluctuations may be on the rise. A paper published in 2016 found that variability in winter temperatures have increased across the Northern Hemisphere. Now listen to the rest of this report. Across the Northern Hemisphere's middle latitude regions in recent years. It's a finding that would seem, quote, contrary to expectations. This is the most important part of this report. It states, as modeling studies generally predict that temperature variability or the extent to which temperatures tend to fluctuate up and down should actually decline worldwide in a warming world. Listen to that again. The studies state that temperature fluctuations up and down should actually decline worldwide in a warming world, not increase. Final excerpts from this report. On a global scale, across all seasons, this seems to be the case, or at least variability isn't increasing. At least one study has suggested that average global temperature variability has remained fairly flat over the last few decades. But the study points out that zooming into specific regions may yield different results. In parts of Europe, these are the most populated parts of Europe, by the way, and North America, for instance, variability does seem to be increasing. I've been over that again and again and again. And the post I put up yesterday at geoengineeringwatch.org about the engineered winter weather whiplash outlines this. The most anomalously less warm place over year after year in the entire world is the most populated portions of North America. And that is not a coincidence. That is climate engineering, period. That is engineered cool downs with chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. They swing the pendulum from the East Coast to the West Coast. While one coast is subjected to an engineered cool down scenario, the other coast is far above normal temperatures. And then this pendulum swings back because generally they don't have enough resources to cool the entire country at once. But look at the GISS departure from normal temperature maps posted on the article we put up yesterday and many other articles that show the most anomalously less warm place in the entire world is the most populated portions of the United States. That is not a coincidence. Final statement from the Scientific American report. Across the board, whether winter whiplash events increase or decrease with global warming seems to depend on the exact type of event, the location, and in some cases, the influence of certain climate factors that scientists are still investigating. Still investigating. Because they are not allowed to acknowledge the climate engineering elephant in the sky. Total betrayal by so many in academia. Total betrayal. When will that end? When there's nothing left? If you're in academia, please, I beg you, reach out to us. If you have any means of helping us expose the climate engineering insanity, please reach out to us at geoengineeringwatch.org. We're working with other academicians that have shown that courage already. We're working with them behind the scenes, but we need more help. Please, please, do the right thing. Reach out to us. Again, engineered winter weather whiplash has just been inflicted upon Northern California. How many will even stop to consider how anomalous the recent snows have been? And often at far above freezing temperatures. In my location east of Lake Shasta this week, in spite of no predictions of snow, we were pummeled with over 2 feet. It started falling at 43 degrees. The temperatures never got to freezing in my location, not before, not during, or after. Crushing heavy wet snow fell that toppled trees and, in my case, the canopy of my duck pen. I was up all night trying to save trees and ducks. All I could hear was toppling trees and an off and on parade of jets flying overhead. I managed to save many trees by repeatedly beating the unnatural concrete light snow off of them. I was able to save all my children's ducks, including Bucky, by spending a considerable amount of time with them in their pen, trying to hold up the canopy from snow avalanches cascading off the overhanging oak tree. 48 hours later, the snow, over 2 feet of it, was all but gone. With temperatures in the 50s, the damage done in the region to infrastructure, to the trees, to wildlife, from the weather warfare insanity continues. And this story is being carried out all over the globe. To those that truly care about the future of our children and of the web of life, please, please investigate. Please abandon preconceptions, ideology, and bias, and investigate the data. On the top toolbar of the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage, there are section links for engineered drought, engineering wildfires, and yes, engineering winter. Our planet's climate and life support systems have been completely derailed, and though there are countless forms of human-caused damage to the planet, climate engineering operations and the highly toxic fallout from them are the single greatest and most immediate threat we collectively face short of nuclear cataclysm. If we were to have any chance of exposing and stopping the ongoing weather warfare, reaching a critical mass of awareness is key. That effort will take all of us. Details and activist instructions are on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. While it can still make a difference. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.